Hello and welcome to the very first inaugural Heat Unmissables podcast.
Woo! Woo!
Good noises, thanks. Yeah. I'm Boyd Hill and I am the entertainment director of Heat Magazine and have been for about 117 years. I'm still here and this is a whole new world because what we're going to be doing this, the unmissable section of Heat, just in case you don't know, it's like the back section is where we talk about entertainment and pop culture and we preview and review what's going on in film, TV, music, books, etc., podcasts even. And that's what this is going to be. This is going to be like an audio version of that where we pick out the big things of the week that people are talking about. People use, you know, water cooler moments, dare I say. It's a horrible cliche, but I've said it already. And we discuss it. I'll be hosting it pretty much every week unless something terrible happens. And I'll be joined by regular, excellent Heat experts from the team who work on the magazine. Starting with, this week, in front of me right now, Kay Ribeiro, who is entertainment editor of Heat, and she knows more about Britain's Next Top Model than anyone in the world, including the people who make the show, star in the show, and produce the show. Welcome, Kay.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
You've got a bit snuffly today.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I've got a bit of a cold, so I don't usually sound like this, but why not start off with me sounding quite coldy?
Because you can only get better.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That voice you can hear is the glorious tones of Steph Seelan, who is assistant editor of Heat Magazine. Is that right?
Yes, that is my current title.
No one knows what that means, but she's very important. You're very important.
No one knows. It's mysterious.
Yeah.
She's the grand fromage.
You're one of the grand fromages. Mm. You are. And you also are well known for being able to get hold of and watch any film or TV show before it comes out. It's a bit like, you know, that bit in The Devil Wears Prada where Meryl Streep demands to read the next Harry Potter film. You could get us the next Star Wars film, couldn't you, pretty much?
Spoiler, that scene was inspired by me because I am well known across the globe as someone who can get things first.
Exactly.
At a snap of the fingers.
At the snap of a finger.
Yeah. So, you know, we rely on you for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything that you can't get to see.
Steph sorts it out.
Anyway, in this podcast, this is kind of roughly what we're going to be doing. This is what I like to call the menu.
Wonderful.
Does that sound, yeah?
Yeah.
So in the menu, we're going to talk about, first we're going to talk about what you've been watching at the moment. So this is, I mean, TV is going to form a large part of what we do on this, I think, let's be honest. Let's be upfront and honest about it. Because TV, watching TV is what most people do, isn't it, in their lives?
Yeah. What are you expecting?
Are people going out?
Yeah, right.
No.
I mean, we're not. So we're going to talk about what you're watching at the moment, just generally, and to establish, you know, what kind of human beings you are as well, and what you like. Then we're going to talk about some news, some like entertainment news. Then we're going to talk about the Harry Styles single, which we've all just... Disclosure, recording this on Friday, and Harry Styles single has just come out this morning, and we're all listening to it, and we're all
very excited about it.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're excited.
Yeah. Oh.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Virgin TV must-see moments, which is a whole new thing at BAFTA, and other new stuff. We'll get to that. Then the crux, I like to think, of the whole podcast is our previews and reviews of big things that are happening in popular culture. So we're going to talk about the trip to Spain, which started on Thursday on Sky Atlantic and Now TV, and we're going to talk about that, review that.
In that, are we going to talk about my huge crush on Steve Coogan that is happening?
Absolutely.
That
is the point that you can discuss that.
I'm sorry, but I can't stop.
We're also going to hear from your crush, Steve Coogan, and Rob Brydon, an actual interview with them that I conducted at BAFTA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Control yourself, Steph.
I can't. I just can't.
We've got the Doctor Who Virgin slot, where you two, who are not Doctor Who fans, watch the new episode of Doctor Who, which is on this Saturday.
Yeah. Can I just say, we don't want any hate mail, okay? We just
or tweets.
No,
modern.
Don't be mean to us, okay? We know that we're in a very privileged position to have watched it, and we're very sorry that you haven't seen it, but you will see it, Doctor Who fans. What are Doctor Who fans called?
Whovians.
Oh, such a... Yeah. We love you, Whovians.
Thanks. Oh, I'm a huge Whovian anyway. So it's like a mix. So I'm the Whovian massive geek.
Yeah.
I've watched every episode of Doctor Who at least once.
No one can have a go at us if we've got a Whovian fan, right?
It's like a thought experiment.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm the one who's seen it and knows it like the back of my hand. You two, it's good to see what two people who've never watched it before, maybe you've seen bits of it, you're aware of it.
I'm aware it's a thing.
I know it's a show.
You think of it.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. S-Town, yes, this is a podcast and we're going to be reviewing a podcast. But it's the biggest podcast, isn't it, in the world right now? I think pretty sure for the people who did Serial.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. And Girl Boss, which is Netflix's big show, which drops on Friday, as they say, in Netflix world.
Yeah, in Netflix world.
All 13 episodes drop this Friday. We've seen the first episode.
We have thoughts on that.
We have a lot of thoughts.
Good, you have a lot of thoughts on that. And then right at the end, we're going to have a question time where we answer a Heat listener or Heat tweeter or Facebook or whatever the hell they are question about
Ask us anything. You want to know.
You'll get the gist. We're going to ask a question about girls at the end, and then, you know, from now on, as we do this every week for the rest of humanity, people can ask us questions.
Get in touch. Get in touch. For the next 117 years of Boyd's life.
Yeah. But to start with, Kay, what the hell have you been watching, and what are you into right now on television? What's the thing, what's the stuff that's rocking your world?
What I'm really into right now is Girls.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I think you guys watch it as well, don't you?
Oh my God, I'm so into it.
And
of course,
as you said, we're recording this on Friday, so I haven't seen Monday's episode yet. I'm just basing this on last week, but oh my God, that scene between Adam and Hannah in the diner, and that silence, which did more than any words could do, and the crying and the quivering bottom lip. It was just so intense.
This was in last week. So we're recording this on Friday. So the most recent episode we've all seen of Girls was one that went out on Monday.
Last Monday.
And then you actually, this podcast will go out every Tuesday when the magazine comes out. And obviously people can listen to it immediately. And so you, anyone listening to this now who watches Girls will have seen last night's episode, effectively, the next one. So you're looking very confused.
I'm just trying
to make it clear.
I mean, I'm just taking myself back to that scene, actually.
That's what it is. But more importantly, that scene was, I agree with you, because I thought the episode wasn't like amazing, but that scene...
What?
Well, no, I love it. I love Girls, but you know, that it was all about that scene because it was incredible.
That scene was just so epic. The fact that they can convey all that with just a look, a quivering lip, and silence. I mean, I was going to suggest we try that now.
Yeah,
but maybe that's not great for a podcast.
No, I'm doing it now.
Oh God, if Steph started to cry in the middle of the podcast,
do you see what I mean? Make your lip go a bit.
I mean, she's doing it. But it did show, didn't it? It showed that, because what it was like the culmination. You thought in the rest of the episode, Adam had decided he was going to devote himself anew to Hannah and volunteered to help bring up the baby, co-parent her baby.
Yeah, this is the moment we've been waiting for.
Yeah, the moment we've been waiting for. But it was incredible, wasn't it? Because just the look on Lena Dunham's face, I thought was the best acting I've ever seen from her.
It was that moment of realisation.
She couldn't kill herself.
This wasn't going to work. And everything that she had hoped for, even though it was being presented to her on a plate and it was sitting opposite her, she just knew. And we've all been, actually, I think the reason why it resonates as well is that everyone's been through that moment where an ex gets in touch with you and says, oh, you know, maybe we can make this work. And you try and kid yourself because you really want it to work. And your heart's like, nah. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping we don't have a moment like that at the end of this podcast.
Where we
just go,
it's not working.
It's just not going to...
Although we wouldn't say it, we'd just look at each other.
So if there is a prolonged moment of silence at the end, you'll know.
My lip goes, guys.
Yeah, that's true.
We're out of here.
Steph, what are you into the moment?
Oh, my God. Three words. Big... Little lies.
Yes.
Oh,
they're big words.
Oh my God.
We're not sponsored, let me say, right now by Sky Atlantic or Now.
Although,
TV.
If you want to get in touch and sponsor us,
it is available. We'll take the cash. But no, let's face it, Sky Atlantic does have all the best programs.
Oh God, it's got the best shows.
Mondays is like a nightmare for me because it's like Girls, Big Little Lies, and Broadchurch. It's just like Mondays is now the best day ever.
Yeah.
But it's a nightmare if you're Sky Plusing or other devices because then you've got the clash. The timing clash.
Yeah.
But
Ball Church is nearly finished, so that.
But
Big Little Lies, we've got a few episodes to go, yeah.
Okay,
Before you say what you can say about it, it's getting a little bit of criticism I've seen online because I think in America people are saying, a few episodes in the middle of it, nothing much happens because they're teasing, aren't they, that there's this big murder. Someone's committed a murder. We don't know who did it.
Yeah.
And we don't know who's been murdered. So that was established right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's about this community of women and their menfolk and their kids in Monterey, California. And in the last few episodes, nothing much has happened. But I still really like it.
Okay, listen. So just for you listeners, okay, so we're up to episode 4, okay?
Last Monday.
I actually think lots has happened. I completely disagree. Because... the thing that I love about it is you're really getting to grips with these characters. You're really understanding what is like at their very core. I think so much is happening within nothing happening.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes, okay. Totally, yeah.
So I feel like I have this real emotional connection to Nicole Kidman. Because she's not saying low. She hasn't got a ridiculous amount of dialogue, but she is just so incredible. Her acting's so incredible in this. And she's saying so much with her body. I mean, obviously, she's being horribly abused by her gorgeous husband. But
Alexander Skarsgård.
That's a whole
well
other
done,
thing.
Alexa Chung. Yeah, that's what
I know.
Saying.
It's another kind of Jamie Dornan Fall situation, you know, where someone really sexy and gorgeous is doing something horrendous.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, God.
Awful people can be sexy.
I know,
is the
it's
message.
So awful, but he's just so delicious.
I know what you're saying. I think the depiction of their relationship is absolutely the most incredible because it's showing how a man can kind of just dominate
oh God.
And use this power. psychologically torment her and have this power over her.
And when was the last time
she's a brilliantly
seen
beautiful,
that?
Intelligent woman.
Yeah.
But that's what happens, isn't it? Yeah,
but you can do this kind of unfolding of her realisation that she is desperately still in love with him. But she's in the last episode, if you watched it, where she just sort of getting back into lore a little bit, and she's like, you can see it before your very eyes, that she's like, oh, there is something more, but she knows that he's going to be angry about that, and it's just the anticipation of whenever she speaks to him, you're like, oh my god, he's going to try and strangle her.
It makes you so tense, doesn't it?
It does make you so tense.
You're sitting there saying, oh my god, don't go back into lore, he's going to hate that.
I know, but also, can I just say, Reese Witherspoon is absolutely everything I want her to be in this.
Oh, she's fantastic.
She is.
But do you know who the best person is in it? And I've forgotten his name, but he is the best.
Ziggy.
He is phenomenal.
Is he a psycho? Is the big question.
He's only 8 years old.
I think he's going to turn out to be a psycho.
Yeah, I think he is as well.
He's the actor. He's so brilliant, isn't he? Yeah,
he is brilliant.
Boydo, let's flip this up. I want to know what you're watching.
Yeah.
Well, I am. Line of Duty is my favourite thing.
Okay.
And I think this is the fourth series we're in right now on BBC One. I think episode 3 went out on Sunday, which I have seen already, of course. So,
of course you have.
And there is an incredible. I don't think you two have, but I get special access in my BBC Previews website. I am showing off. To advance episodes of Line of Duty. And there's a huge thing that happens at the end of episode 3 that is brilliant, and I just did not see it coming, and it's going to have huge ramifications for
is it a bigger twist than at the end of episode 1? So episode in 1, it, you thought he was going to kill Roz with a chainsaw.
The weird
psycho.
Weird policeman. Yeah.
And then suddenly, just as he was about to bring it to her head, very graphic, her eyes flipped open, right?
Yes.
And it was like, oh my God!
Yeah, he was about to kill her. Yeah, he was about to attack her with his
sword.
Is it bigger than that?
It's not quite, it's almost as big as that. Ooh. And because it's in the middle of the series, it's like, oh my god, you've given us another huge thing that's happened.
Oh, I love Line of Duty. It's so reliable for twists.
It's
that are gonna
the
shock
best
you.
Storytelling on TV, because every single moment of it is telling some incredible story. Now it's advancing the story in an incredibly exciting way. Every single scene is doing something unbelievable. Whereas to contrast with Big Little Lies a bit,
and I'm not slagging it off. You were going to come for me.
No, it's just a different show. But there are bits in Big Little Lies that are just advancing the characters and just kind of, saying more about those relationships. Yeah. And that's what they're doing. And that's brilliant. But in Line of Duty, every single second is telling you another incredible bit of the story. Anyway.
It's because Jed's a genius.
Yeah.
Can I just...
Jed Mercurio, the writer? Is
yeah. Can I just have a quick interlude?
Of course.
Just to say, we haven't introduced
our
brilliant producer.
We are not alone.
Up, because we've got to give a little shout out, because he was looking at us there and I was like, we haven't even said hello.
Well, he's allowed to look at us because he's in the room.
Yeah, I know, but as in, like,
it's
we
John.
Need to introduce
Hi, John.
Him.
Yeah, John.
John, who we're calling John Dan.
Producer, engineer, editor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Dan. That's his name when he's in here, John Dan.
And so you got his name wrong. Kay got his name wrong and thought he was called Dan.
Dan!
Yeah.
But
thanks, he's called John Dan.
Yeah, John's basically now saying, yes, can we stop talking about me
and get
on with the
Sorry, John
thing.
Dan.
The show? The podcast? News. Let's talk about news. Harry Styles, single. Was played for the first time this morning on Bauer radio stations as well as other radio stations.
Yeah, I had to squeal because that's what the people want. That's what everyone's doing.
Hey, that's internally what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I actually fancy him.
Steph, what's your feeling about it?
Okay, can I just say, and not just say, right, I was listening to this morning and I was like a bit like, oh, it's a bit Bowie-ish.
Yeah.
And then I read that everybody else was saying it was Bowie-ish, but no, there was no proof that I'd said that before anyone else. But I'm saying here, I think I said it before anyone else.
We believe you.
I believe you. Okay. I think it sounds like the Eagles. It definitely sounds like 1975.
Yeah.
The whole thing could have been released in 1975.
Yeah.
Could be Bowie 75. Could be the Eagles 75. It could be all kinds of different
cool
people.
It's a very cool track, isn't it? Very cool sound.
It's very 70s Californian.
Mm. Is it surprising?
West Coast rock.
Did you think? Because I was like, oh, this is exactly what I expected him to do.
Really?
Yeah,
no,
I did.
I was expecting something slightly more poppy. And,
did
you? Know,
no, yeah. I'm glad it's
Maybe
not poppy.
Maybe I'm naive. Yeah, no, I'm really glad. Yeah, it's totally.
No,
cool.
I think some people thought he was going to be a bit more Ed Sheeran-y, but I thought this is, and especially when we saw those pictures of him with that helicopter, he was filming the video and
he's
worried
for him in that shot.
I mean,
is that actually
can
him?
You imagine the insurance? Can you imagine?
What would happen to the world if
Harry Styles just fell?
Plummeted into his video.
Okay. Anyway, back to that actual song.
It's fine, by the way, everyone.
He didn't.
Well, we know.
Yeah, right, so Bowie 75. Yeah, I think Eagle 75. But also sounds a bit like, Stop Crying Your Heart Out by Oasis.
Sing it.
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly like that.
Sing it right now, boy.
No,
don't sing, okay? I'll leave that to you. There you go. We've just hit the opening piano chords. I want everyone. I hope. And by the way, because it's all very fresh to us now on Friday, this as recorded on Friday. By the time you're listening to this now on Tuesday, probably everyone said that about the Oasis thing. So I bet, it'll be.
No, so we've got proof because we're saying Friday. We should.
You're such glory hunters with your quotes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm realizing right now.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, his voice is extraordinary. It's really high, isn't it? I'm getting high.
Can I just say, I'm going to say the technical term, right? The falsetto version, the falsetto part of the song. Yeah. I was like, is that really him?
Right, yeah. Incredibly high.
It's so high.
I'm putting money on the fact that Steph's falsetto is higher
than
Harry's.
Don't you always think when people sing falsetto, though, that you think, oh, well, I can do that because you just go like this. And you think you can be a singer. Or is that just me?
No, that's just you, okay. But you could be a singer.
Right.
Anything bad to say about the Harry Styles single? No,
no, you know, positive. I love him. I absolutely love him. What I had forgotten is when I listened to, he did an interview.
On
another radio station that we're not going to mention, is how laid back he is. He's barely awake, but that adds to the coolness. That adds to my, his allure.
Yeah.
Cool people are never like,
they can
manic.
Never be asked at all.
No.
Maybe I'm going to do that for the rest of the podcast.
I think this is a grower as well, though. I think the more you listen to it, the more you'll like it.
Oh, I loved it immediately.
Yeah.
It's very long. Do you know how long it is?
It's very long.
Okay. 5 minutes and 40 seconds.
That is a long single, especially for this day and age. And I did see, I tweeted something about it, and I was looking at all the other tweets of people, and people going, is this still going on? People were slagging off. How much longer?
I love it.
I think it's great that it takes its time and it repeats itself.
I have to say, I'm just to bring it back again to Big Little Lies, it sounds like the kind of music that could be in Big Little Lies.
It's Californian West Coast rock, yeah. Good point.
Can I give you a quick fact before we move on?
Please do, Kay.
Is that he's obviously going to be on Saturday Night Live performing that in America on the 15th of April. However, if you're a fan and you don't live in America, because I know everyone's listening to us globally now,
Graham
Norton, he's going to be on the 21st of April.
Good fact. Talking and singing?
He's definitely going to be singing. I imagine he will say hello as well.
So, I think he'll be chatting.
Oh, they always go on the end of the sofa, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But he might be even along for more than that, I think, probably.
Fingers crossed.
He's quite a big star. Now, we're going to talk about, this is a brand new, very exciting new thing that's going to happen at the BAFTAs this year, the TV BAFTAs. So we've had the film BAFTAs. The TV BAFTAs happen on the 14th of May at the Royal Festival Hall. We'll all be there, obviously. Well, I will be.
Kay and I will be recording the podcast.
Holding the fort here.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Don't worry.
Every year, they have an audience award. And until now, the audience award has been like a show. Basically, there's a short list of big shows, like Game of Thrones or whatever, EastEnders, and the audience just votes for their favourite, and that's that. This year, it's all changed. This is the news.
Da, da, da.
This was all revealed yesterday for the first time. So Virgin TV, they're the new sponsors of the whole BAFTA TV Awards, and they've come up with this new audience award, and it's the Virgin TV must-see moment. Again, we're not sponsored by them.
We're not sponsored by them.
But they are sponsoring the BAFTAs. So it's the must-see moment, and I was among a full disclosure, I was among a massive team of TV critics. There's about 20 of us, 25 of us.
Of course you were.
We had a list of 100 shows, 100 moments on TV in 2016, right?
Well, you were given 100.
We were given a list of 100.
Who chose the 100?
So the 100 had been culled from, scientifically, from like what people had talked about on social media.
What?
Yes, I know.
Dweebs.
There's a lot of research there.
Very geeky. But some group, some people, the Virgin found.
Some people with a lot of time.
Some experts.
Definitely virgins.
Yeah.
Oh! That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
She's not getting free Virgin TV.
Oh my God. I love Virgin.
All right. Yeah, so experts had looked at what people had talked about on social media and in life and on radio and TV and whatever, and found these 100 talked about moments. And then we, as a team of top level TV critics, culled that to 6, to the shortlist of 6. And this was revealed yesterday. And I'm going to read the list.
Sorry, no. I want to know how you culled it to 6. Because how did you do that? How did you all agree?
Big argument. We had, like, it went on for, you know.
But did it get physical?
It almost got physical, yeah.
Oh my God.
People, it was interesting, yeah. I'm not at liberty to discuss,
listen,
you know, what.
Don't tell us who was there. Just know that it went down.
I could say it was there, but I'm not discussing, you know, the ins and outs of the discussion.
Just
but
know
it got
one
quite
thing.
Yeah.
We would always back you in a physical fight.
Thank you.
We've got your back.
Now, I've given you the list, haven't I? Because I was going to read them all out myself. I think people get tired of this slightly coldy voice, so I might get Kay to read them out. Kay,
no.
Please, can you unveil the 6 moments that are shortlisted for the Virgin TV Must See Moment Award at the BAFTAs?
Oh, it's my Maura Stewart moment. Okay, in at number one. Well, not number one. The first choice.
Anything. You can read any of these. Oh, yeah,
I'm first choice. Yeah. Like, you've got
in no particular order.
Yeah. T's and C's.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, Battle of the Bastards.
Ooh.
I hate to say that word, but that's what it's called.
That's fine.
Number two, The Late Late Show, Carpool Karaoke with Michelle Obama. Woo!
Lotus.
Number three, Line of Duty, Urgent Exit Required.
Yep.
Oh, God, that was a great one.
Yep.
Number four, Planet Earth 2, Snakes versus Iguana Chase.
Yeah.
God, that's an image that still haunts me.
Oh.
Number five.
Can I just say good response yeah. noises?
Do you know what, though? It's because it reminded me of when Kay met David Attenborough. Oh. No. Can you just briefly tell that story? Because it's so good. Please, just tell it really quickly.
Listen,
it's so good.
Not to name drop, but yeah, I did.
But Boyd's doing it, so you should.
David Attenborough. And he was incredible. Everything you hope for more. Everything he said sounded like a documentary. And I said to him, look, you know, can reindeer have red noses? And he was like, of course they can have red noses. And then he explained why, like, you know, with very technical terms.
If they've got cold.
Yeah, like you, basically. Yeah. And then I said, and finally, Sir David, can reindeer fly? And he looked at me and I thought, oh God, I've pushed it too far with my stupid questions. And he went, of course reindeer can fly.
You heard it here.
I skipped out of that place. First. I was like, I love you.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. So worth the interlude, right? It's such a good story. Yeah.
Number five, Strictly Come Dancing, Ed Balls, Gangnam Style.
Okay.
No, we're going to discuss.
All right. Yeah. I just can't. I'm
Steady.
Sorry.
Hold
no.
on. Yeah.
All right,
and finally, who do you think you are with Danny Dyer and his royal connections?
Yeah. So, Steph, what's your favourite out of those?
Okay.
What's your problem?
Well, I am a huge Game of Thrones. Well, yeah.
We
don't have another podcast called Steph, What's Your Problem? Because that would be a long time. But I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, and that was so unbelievably epic. It has got, I mean, I'm sorry, I love the Attenborough, but for me, that is the number one moment.
This was the moment where Ramsay Bolton's gang was fighting with Jon Snow's gang.
He's too cocky.
Yeah. But you know the interesting fact about that whole battle sequence, and this the particular moment so that sequence goes on for about 10 minutes, I think, is one of the most incredible sequences ever. But the moment is obviously shorter, is when Jon Snow gets subsumed under these bodies that are fighting him.
And you think it's over, you're like, oh no, not again, you've already died once.
And you know the interesting thing about it is that wasn't even scripted. So that fascinating.
What?
Yeah. And it was a thing about the budget and something, but they didn't have enough extras.
Oh,
and
not
like that.
The extras. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
they came up with this moment on the day of filming as a thing to do. And it's absolutely, it is phenomenal. So yeah, it's exciting. But what's the thing you're annoyed about on the list, though? You were like, tutting.
Sorry, I love Strictly. I'm a huge Strictly fan, okay?
But listen, I
just can't engage. I get so... I like the comedy acts on Strictly. They have a lifespan, okay?
Yeah.
And he really went on for too long.
Okay.
And
no, you're a big fan of Strictly, though, aren't you, Kay?
I can't... I know, people are always like, well, that's what this show is about. I'm like, yeah, but then you see really good acts that deserve to be there. I will fight you in this studio.
Listen, he was a good act, and that was a fantastic moment in Strictly history.
Oh my God, it was...
Listen,
it had
everything. It was entertaining. He was singing, like still singing through the song. So you got singing and dancing, because he can do those two things.
He's supposed to be singing.
No, he just likes doing it. Right. And also there's an element of jeopardy, because at any second it looked like he was going to drop Katia on her head and fracture a skull. So I mean,
I hated
like,
it.
Oh, that's good.
No.
So is that your favourite moment? Or what's your favourite moment?
No, it's not. My favourite moment, obviously, Cut Me, I Bleed, David Attenborough, but I'm actually going to go for...
Cut Me, I Bleed, David Attenborough?
We probably bleed
red blood that David Attenborough has. But anyway,
exactly.
Yeah, I know, we know what you're saying. Yeah.
Let's not be pedantic. Yeah. It's The Late Late Show with Michelle Obama, because...
You've surprised me there.
Yeah.
I thought you'd go for Dyer. You love Dyer.
Yeah, but she loves FLOTUS.
Yeah,
well, former FLOTUS, because now we've got Melania.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I do love... Actually, I have to say, I do love Danny Dyer, and that episode was great. And I interviewed him about it all, and he was just over the moon.
You're just interviewing everyone, aren't you?
Yeah.
But if you interview Danny Dyer, one of the best things, obviously, other than the words coming out of his beautiful mouth, is him going, "Oh, out my baby, oh, out my baby." That's how he talks to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you prefer FLOTUS on?
Yeah, only because
karaoke.
Obviously
yeah,
that is such an amazing get. I mean, she was brilliant. She was everything you hope for and more, and incredibly funny. Really belting out. I mean, seeing FLOTUS sing Single Ladies.
She's like a political Beyonce. That's what she is.
She's more than that, I think. And then obviously
How can you be more than Beyonce?
Oh my God.
Who is more than Beyonce? Oh my God.
Michelle Obama. That's who.
Yeah.
I would vote for.
And Missy Elliott was in it as well.
Oh yeah, she pops up. Yeah, brilliantly.
That was excellent.
That was just kind of probably the moment they'll pick out when they.
Missy Elliott's role is just popping up in things. She just pops up in people's videos.
Super Bowl and stuff.
Yeah, she just pops up. Why the hell not?
I would vote for A Line of Duty, just saying. So this is right at the end of the last series, and there was the brilliant thing where it's urgent exit required, where she needs the horrible, nasty, corrupt...
Dot,
character suddenly told his horrible, nasty people that were fixing the whole thing, and he smashed the glass and he escaped from
It's like you're really reliving this moment.
Oh, it was so exciting.
It was so unexpected.
It was unexpected. But anyway, if you can vote now. I think pretty much.
How?
Yes, you can vote.
Don't stop listening to this podcast, right?
Oh, of course
do
not.
It in tandem.
You can do it at the same time. Go to virginmedia.com/BAFTA. And you can vote for your one out of all those love things.
Game of Thrones.
From today, that's right. From Tuesday, the 11th of April. I mean, today this goes out. You could be listening to this anytime, obviously. Yeah. Until Wednesday, the 10th of May, you can vote for your must-see TV moment.
Okay, so if it's the 10th of May and you're listening to this, okay, one, where have you been?
Yeah.
But two, don't vote because your vote won't count.
Exactly.
And if you are going to vote, vote Michelle Obama.
Okay, is it the 11th of May? I feel like I'm turning into T's and C's girl here.
You're turning T's and C's. You found your role.
Yeah.
Now then, the other two little things you wanted, I thought we'd mention.
A boring role to get.
Oh yeah, there's this Tupac trailer you wanted to mention.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes. All Eyes on Me. Okay. So that
is that what the Tupac film's
literally
called?
Literally. And
oh, I thought you meant
that's a lyric. That's a lyric.
I've seen Tupac. I'm not an expert.
What? Okay.
I've seen a Tupac T-shirt, boy.
I'm amazed to think. I know, but I'm not. Carry on.
Listen. Okay. So. Obviously, this has been rattling on for a long time. Who killed Tupac, okay? Is Tupac really dead? He's been releasing music from beyond the grave, you know. I mean, I am very into it. Boyd, I know that you are not, okay?
No, I'm
fascinated.
How are
you feeling about Tupac?
Listen, I will go and see this.
Are you Tupac or Biggie?
No,
this is a biopic.
Oh, yeah, but it's a drama.
Yeah, it's a drama.
So who's playing Tupac?
Okay, so, right, this guy. Hold on a second, he's amazing. Right, his name is Demetrius Shipp, and oh, my God. It's like you could be forgiven for thinking that Tupac is, you know, risen from the grave.
He looks exactly like him.
You watched the trailer this morning. Yeah. He looks exactly like him. It's almost freaky. So I'm sure lots of conspiracy theorists will go, it's really Tupac and he's not dead. You know, like the whole music thing, which I just mentioned. Anyway, this is the story of how he kind of rose to power in the rap world and what actually happened, how he broke friends with Biggie and how he eventually died and who killed him. We all know it's Suge Knight.
Really? Yeah. Is that legally? Will I say that? Is Suge Knight
still alive? Will we get in trouble?
This is going to be the first and last podcast we do.
Yeah. My mum.
Listen,
Suge Knight killed him. I'm telling you that now, right?
Imagine if you got sued and then he.
I'm ready for you. I am ready for you. Please.
As I said to Boyd in a physical fight, we got your back still.
Thank you. Yeah,
who knew we'd have to get this legal, this whole podcast legal by it? And is Suge Knight's representative? Is he litigious at all?
Suge, get in touch, babes.
Listen, he's a bad man. But also, can I tell you who is really excited about this? My mum, okay? Who has been telling me for years.
Was she involved?
My mum loves Tupac, yeah. Lives in a little village in Bedfordshire. She loves Tupac. I don't know. It's unconfirmed whether she was involved, but she has said to me for years, I tell you who it was. It was that Suge Knight. That's who she was.
Let me just, as the host of Life, I should make clear, we have no idea if Suge Knight was involved
in any way
the murder of Tupac, and we do not support either your mum or you in this accusation. Anyway, the trailer good?
The trailer's amazing. It's really good. There's a little bit of real life footage in there as well. You should
definitely watch it. When's the film out?
I got so excited by watching it. It's just for yesterday.
I apologise for testing you with these facts that you don't know.
I feel like it's June 22.
Did you like the trailer?
Yeah, I did, because the music's obviously incredible.
I might not know when it's out, but I know who did the murder. Okay, so
you don't.
Okay,
no, we've established you don't. You're just going off on one.
When it's out is irrelevant.
Sleep with
who
one eye open
him
now.
Is the important part.
You have no idea who killed him. Anyway, less controversially, Dermot's doing the nightly show.
Yay!
The last week of the nightly show, he's back doing it.
Dermot, who we love.
Yeah. King of live TV.
The nightly show that everyone hates.
Well, you know, it's gotten a lot of criticism, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think
justified criticism, would we say?
I think it's been a bit harsh, no. Because sometimes, like at the moment, as we're recording this, Bradley Walsh has been doing it, and I have to say... It's not. I caught a bit of it the other night, and it wasn't great. Bradley Walsh was just doing jokes from like 1975, like the same era as.
Wasn't Bradley Walsh like the number one selling music artist last year, or something insane?
Yes, I think he was number one male or something.
Yeah,
he has a huge album.
I know. Harry Styles, you better watch your back. Yeah. Is all I'm saying. Bradley's there. He's not even coming. He's there. He's the one to beat.
You're absolutely right.
Bigger than Tupac.
Anyway, it was terrible. He was doing some terrible jokes.
That's the thing about the show, isn't it? You've got to say it's that it depends on who the host is. Because when Dermot was in charge, everyone was loving it, and that's why he's back.
And it's brilliant for Dermot because he's always wanted to do a chat show. That's his dream, really.
Is it his dream?
Yeah. And I think this has been brilliant for him because he did it. He was much better than everyone else. Anton Deck came on his last episode and said, you should be doing this permanently.
Yeah.
Everyone agreed he should be.
He has got the personality for that. Yeah. If you listen to his radio show, he's very...
Totally.
But But also, he can handle live TV. Throw anything at him, right. Yeah. And he's going to be brilliant.
And exactly. He's funny.
So he's back doing it that next week, and that was just the last of this 8-week kind of experiment from ITV. Yeah. And I think they'll bring it back, and he'll be the panelist.
Do you think it'll be Dermot's show?
I think so.
Shout out to him. We love him.
And talking of chat shows, the other bit of news we wanted before going to the full crux of our reviews and previews,
which is
what everyone
the crux is approaching.
Cannot wait for, is that James Corden is bringing his Late Late Show to the UK, which is exciting.
But permanently or just special?
No, just the three specials.
So in June,
I think it's 5th, 6th, 7th, around the beginning of June, the whole team's coming over, and effectively, like, the chat show goes on tour, and it'll go out in America as usual with three episodes recorded in London with like a London focus, with a British focus, where James celebrating Britishness, but we'll get to see them on Sky as well.
Oh, can we do our podcast live from that show?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay, well, that's done.
I've got a question.
John Dan, is that okay? Can we move the studio? Okay,
John Dan is nodding, which means that's a verbal contract. Yeah.
Kay's got a hand up, yes?
Or non-verbal contract. My question is, obviously, in LA, his show's very slick and glossy.
Of course.
Will it be the same in Britain, or will they represent what it's like?
Scathing.
No, I'm saying
Britain is inherently more shambolic.
What are you saying about our production
values? Just saying, will they then like ship in the set, or you know, are they going to represent British?
I think they'll have a version. I mean, I have no idea about this, by the way, but my guess is they'll have, I know they're filming it in a not very nice venue in London. I think they'll have their own version of that set, because that set, by the way, was designed by...
because you went on set,
didn't
you?
Yeah, I went on set, yeah.
Oh, God, we're just dropping great facts about boys.
Yeah, I believe this is right. I think the set was designed by his Uber producer, Ben Winston's wife. Yeah,
oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Unless I made that up. But I'm pretty sure, because she's very talented in that kind of thing. And it looks great. And it's supposed to be a bit like a nightclub vibe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a clubby vibe where they have people sitting there on stools, you know, at a bar area and stuff like that.
Because, of course, it goes out really... I mean, it's not called The Late Show for no
late
reason.
Late Show.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, who stays
late,
up for
late,
that?
Late Show.
Well, in America, this is the thing. It's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that, because in America, there's a whole tradition of chat shows. 11:30 is the main big ones. All those, The Tonight Show goes out at 11:30, and then afterwards there's always been another one that goes out at 12:30 to 1:30, but it's a massive tradition of people staying up and watching them.
Can I just say that, right? Okay. Yes. Right. So I obviously, like lots of people, love, we get all the clips of the American shows, the Jimmy Fallons, the Jimmy Kimmels, and we get really excited. And then you think, oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing if I lived in America and I could watch Saturday Night Live all the time and I could watch all those shows? And then let me tell you, I went to live in America. I lived in New York for a year, and I thought I was going to go stay up. And I was like, oh God, it's 10 o'clock, I'm tired. And I never watched those shows.
But you were probably too exhausted from looking at too many pictures of
I was.
People,
okay,
of but Harry Styles. Yeah. That's your job.
I mean, my main job is to look at pictures of Harry Styles. Yeah. So I was doing
that's
that.
All I
but I thought I'd have time for the late shows, but I
didn't.
I know
what you mean. And of course,
the
other thing now is it's all the big moments are on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the thing. What the thing is that you realise when you watch these shows is that actually what's brilliant about being in the UK is that somebody else watches the show for you, and then they get the best clips, and then you just see them. So you don't listen. What I'm saying is, don't worry if that you don't get to watch those all those full American shows.
If you're flying to America, don't worry about staying up late.
Don't worry about staying up late. Just watch the clips.
That's a very good point, Kate.
No, it's good.
And you're excited about James Corden coming to the UK and doing his shows, aren't you?
Yeah, I love Corden. He's a friend of Heat. I'm so excited. He is very much a friend of Heat.
Right
so.
Now, we're moving offices soon. I don't want to get into that, but we are moving offices soon. So a lot of all the big Heat like stuff we've done, all our detritus, basically, is kind of hanging around. Our amazing shoots. But there's right now, as we speak, there's a massive, huge photo of James Corden in his pants behind my seat.
Yeah, yeah, listen, we
as
are going to take that to him. That's what we need to
be.
Do, because he needs that in his house.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. Okay, what is it, like 8 foot? I think it's like 8 foot.
Yeah.
It's about 8 foot.
9 foot,
it's
probably.
It's really sturdy. Let's wrap it up. Let's take it to him and just say, oh, and while we're here, can we come in and do our podcast live from the show? Because John Dan said we could, and he never lies.
John Dan.
Should
Very
we just,
good.
Yeah?
Let's do that.
Okay,
yeah,
that's the plan. I'm writing that down.
Okay, that is the news, everyone. I think we've fully analysed all the news
don't
in
need to
popular
listen to,
culture.
It's actually Dan. Do you need to
listen
to, no. What? It's John.
You were saying John Dan?
It is John Dan.
It's Dan John.
Producer, editor.
Don Juan.
Is it John Dan or Dan John?
He doesn't
Dan
care.
John.
His name is John, everyone. His
no!
real name is John.
Oh,
let's not, you know.
Dan John. Why don't you just take the fun out of everything, boys?
Now,
his name's Dan
we are
John.
Going, now, Steph.
Sorry.
Come on. Discipline.
Apologies.
Now, we are going to preview and review, I think, the biggest things out there on TV and popular culture.
Well, why wouldn't we?
And we're going to start with the trip to Spain. Now, the trip to Spain dropped in full on Sky Atlantic and Now
Easy.
TV last
Sorry.
Thursday, right? It's the third series of Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon's incredible show, where basically they go around lovely restaurants, having food, sitting there chatting.
They do.
And doing impressions of very famous people.
Yeah.
It's created, Michael Winterbottom directs, and he kind of creates it really with them, but they do improvise the whole thing. Famous film director Michael Winterbottom. And they started
never
out.
Never fails to make me laugh.
Well, who Michael Winterbottom is made? Childish.
No, not at all. A bottom that is also a season. That is just like, is there a spring bottom?
Yeah,
spring bottom, summer bottom. Yeah. Are all his relatives
Michael's
named after
butt.
Season? Exactly
summer
as I'm
butt.
Saying. That is funny. I'm totally with you.
Michael's spring ass.
The word bottom is funny.
Okay,
it just is.
I agree, yeah.
Winter bottom.
Let no one
pretend
the word.
Bottom for Christmas time.
I'm sure, thank God he's not a guest.
I know.
Thank God he doesn't have to listen.
Sorry if you're listening.
Yeah. Apologies.
Anyway, he is the genius
I'm sure
behind...
there's a rich heritage behind your name.
He is the genius behind the whole thing. And they've been to Italy. That was the second series. First series they're in the north of England. Now they've gone to Spain. We are going to analyse, review. I'm going to get your... I mean, I unashamedly love it, but I'm fascinated to see what you two think of it.
Okay, I do think
no, I'm not asking
sorry.
Yet.
Apologies.
I don't, because
been told.
Before we do that... We're going to listen to. I had the honour and privilege of interviewing Steve Coogan and Rob
Brydon.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me this was
on
happening?
On stage at BAFTA a few weeks ago at the launch of this new series. And we're going to play some of that now. This
Calm
is...
yourself, Steph.
How far away from Steve Coogan were you?
About a foot.
Oh, my God.
So you could touch him?
Oh, God, you did touch him, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, ooh, whilst you just listen
to
this, there's going to be an argument happening between me and Boyd.
Later.
Okay, anyway, so we'll have a listen to this. Is me interviewing Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, and then after this, we are going to discuss what we think of the trip to Italy.
Please welcome the stars, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. Thanks for coming. Has your relationship changed over the years since the first series to this series?
Do you mean in reality?
Yeah.
I think so.
Probably, yeah.
I think we get on better now than we ever.
And
had.
We don't sort of socialise much, but actually it's kind of quite nice because it's sort of when you then meet up again, we do have this sort of well of stuff to talk about. And so it works really well.
It does feel a little bit like a family. I mean, I don't want to say brother, but it has that kind of vibe to it, you know, that when we meet up, we've got a lot of shared history now. And
yeah, so it sort of feels quite like, it's quite nice, actually. Because, I mean, in terms of like how hard it is to do, because it's Michael's thing, we just show up and do a bit of prep. It's the easiest thing, really. I mean, we have to focus a bit when we're doing it, make sure we're not trying to find something that's entertaining.
That varies, doesn't it, on a day-to-day basis, you know, whether inspiration comes or not. And there have certainly been times over the three series I can remember sometimes feeling, well, I'm just plugged into some inspirational orb and it's just coming. And there have been other times when I've sat there thinking, oh, I've not got a... What? I don't know what I'm going to... I've just got...
But then when you do that, when you sort of improv, you kind of like... If someone's not firing on all cylinders, then the other person is.
So you just wait, you know, just wait.
And it doesn't matter, if there's any sort of crappy stuff. I mean, some of that I was actually thinking, I thought we were singing too long.
Oh, that's why I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I like the singing. The singing's great.
Yeah, but, okay. There's tiny things I think, oh, I would have done that slightly differently. But it's totally Michael's... thing. I think we
that's
made,
quite nice, and that takes some of the responsibility.
Yeah, because we on the first one, we tried to make some suggestions, didn't we? Yeah. And he just ignored us, so just didn't bother after that.
Well, the first one was very interesting because, as I said, I would come back thinking, this is funny, funny, funny. So he sent the first one down on DVD, and I sat there with Claire, my wife, and we watched it. And I watched it, and I was like this, oh, my God. God, because it was so slow. And the bit where we're going up the motorway, I was thinking, for God's sake, let something happen. But that became a real plus because it had its own pace in a world of television that at that time was suddenly there was and it became so. Thank God. And also my instincts are comedic. They're always comedic. So I would be saying, well, if you cut there, I sent him three pages of printed notes saying, look, if you cut here, much better, because then you get this joke. And let this one breathe a bit more. But he doesn't do that. He just wants to tell his story.
I think he just sort of wants it. It's quite the pace of it is part of its charm. I always see it as Last of the Summer Wine for Guardian readers. It's got that sort of... Yeah, it's quite clever, but it's quite slow.
Yeah.
There is something very pleasurable about it at that pace, though, isn't there? Yeah, and that we get kind of, we're almost that tone. I was thinking when you're sitting there and the sun setting and you're just chatting away, it feels like we're almost there, part of it, enjoying
it's not, it's, I think it. Works, I think it works better as half hours because you feel like you've hung out with two people who are reasonably good company. And then you go, well, and yeah, we hopefully leave people wanting more. So then they think, oh, it's them again the following week. And if they want to watch it in a box set, which is how Sky are packaging it, and they really, really want to have 3 hours with us, then they can.
I watched all 3 hours and it was lovely.
Did you watch it one go?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a joy. Is there stuff when you see the edit? Like that's the first time you've seen that second episode.
That's the first time I've seen the second episode.
Is there stuff that he's left out?
Loads of stuff. There's loads of stuff that isn't in this that we did that I have that I remember as being very good. Now it may be that when you see it, it's actually not like. But my memory, we did all sorts of bits that haven't ended up in there because they just didn't fit.
Think of a favourite?
Well, yeah, for me, we were driving along and Steve says, I say it's lovely to be here, isn't this idyllic? And he says something like, yeah, well, you wouldn't be my ideal companion. And I say, who would it be? And Gemma Arterton's name comes up. And we did a long thing, which I remember thinking was a peak of...
Yeah, where Rob pretended to be Gemma Arterton.
I pretended to be Gemma Arterton driving with him.
And I pretended to chat him up.
And he would say something very innocuous and I would slap his face.
Yeah.
And it was funnier than that. And we did this and did this and did this. And is it in the show? No, it is not.
Yeah, so...
Do you ever talk... think about which impressions you're going to do. For example, I feel there's themes, like there's a lot of rock stars in this.
Yeah,
there's Jagger,
that just happened though, didn't it? I
always get worried about seeing fucking Michael Caine again. For 25 years ago, I used to do Spitting Image and I did like impersonations and I tried my devil best to get away from all that. Did it very successfully for about 20 years and then let's come back.
Pull me back in.
But we do try and say, look, let's try and do something else. Who can you do? Who try and find someone we can both make a good fist of? And
someone who might be known to the under 50s.
Yeah.
I failed in that regard.
Yeah. We did actually do a lot of Tom Courtney, which never made it.
Oh, that's right. We started,
But Tom Courtney's quite an esoteric choice. Yeah. But it was, and Rob was pretty good.
Yeah, we were trying to do him and make him distinct from Alan Bennett is quite interesting. I'm not going to try it now.
No, we shouldn't do it now. That way of talking like that, you know. But Tom Courtney.
I developed a thing where I did Tom Courtney calling for help, which is help.
That's all you can do, though.
But that hasn't made it either, so...
There are some late greats, though. I mean, there's a bit of John Hurt in episode one.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, Elephant Man, John Hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And there's quite a lot of Bowie in late...
Oh, yeah, we ended up doing a lot of Bowie. I do a bit of Barry Gibb, but
the
bit
is
in a later episode. I like the shibboleth of Barry Gibb now as you got older and that kind of Californian Comanche to sort of sound, you know. Going to be doing a lot of the old songs, How Deep Is Your Love, Staying Alive, You Should Be Dancing.
The Bowie story.
Probably right not to put it in.
Yeah. In episode three, without wanting to give it to, there was a brilliant Bowie story where you talk about how you're listening to the radio.
That's all true, yeah.
So that was my question.
Yeah.
Oh, those anecdotes are true.
That anecdote, there's quite a few of the anecdotes that are true, and sometimes they're just twisted. But that one is true that we talk about David Bowie, and that some years ago I was in my kitchen. And he was being interviewed by Mark Radcliffe on the radio. Mark Radcliffe. And he's talking to David Bowie, and he's, that's a very good impression.
That was.
And he says, what do you do on the tour bus? And he says, oh, well, we watch DVDs and everything, and We're watching this one called Cruise of the Gods, which we were both in. It was a baby cow thing.
Is this in it? Is this in?
Yes, it's in episode three.
Oh, later, good.
And the story is, and he couldn't remember my name, basically. He's going, yes, it's with the bloke from Marion and Jeff. You know his name. And bloody Mark Radcliffe's going, oh, I don't know who you're talking about. And I'm in my kitchen going, it's me! I mean, imagine David Bowie. He knows you, but he doesn't know you.
And I never met him, but I can't believe he'd know your work and not mine.
What can I tell you? It was that was a totally true story. Yeah.
That is extraordinary.
Yeah. I know.
We have run out of time. Let me thank BAFTA and Sky and M, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, and for the fantastic trip to Spain.
Thank you.
And that was me interviewing Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon BAFTA. Hence there was people you could hear people in the audience laughing.
Laughing. Sorry, we'll carry on the laughter. So, look, seamless.
Oh, my rib.
All right. And I would also like to point out that you can hear all of my interview with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan, which took place at BAFTA, at some point on the BAFTA website. If you go to guru.bafta.org, you'll find it there. It's worth having a look there anyway, even if it's not there right now, because there's loads of incredible interviews there, including stuff that I've done, like my interview with the people from Sherlock, for example. So guru.bafta.org for loads of brilliant interviews on the BAFTA website. I've written my column about this show this week. I'm obsessed with it. You know, I've interviewed them many times about it. I think there's no greater joy for me,
yeah,
not even on TV, in life, than sitting down in the company of Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, watching them doing impressions of like Mick Jagger and Michael Caine and James Bond.
Yeah.
Making fun of each other, bickering with each other, eating amazing food with a beautiful Spanish fist. It doesn't get any better than that for me. But for you two, like, is it just two old men, two boring old men, like chatting?
Can I just say, I think we need to establish for people who haven't watched this show, Boyd, that the children, like the how real it is, because the wife, important thing.
I had never seen any of it before, and I watched it, and actually I shouted across my desk because I sit opposite Boyd, and I was like, wait a minute, is that Rob's wife and his kids? Because I didn't get
I'm
that actually this is
the explain to the dealers. I'm glad you brought this up. So the whole idea of the Twitch is that they're playing versions of themselves. So they're Steve and Rob, and they are completely based on their own lives. So Steve is a very successful writer-actor who made Philomena, starred in it.
Which you hear about.
Yeah, got nominated for Oscars. That's a running joke there, how proud he is of Philomena.
So he should be, yeah.
And Rob uses stories from his life. There's a story about David Bowie that we referred to in that interview that was true. And so a lot of that is true. It's exaggerated comic effect, by the way.
Of course.
All they're bickering. But everything else, all the stuff about their private lives, like Steve is being in love with this woman in New York, married, and Rob's wife and kids, that's all fictional.
Okay.
Rob does have a wife and kids, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
But it's not that wife and
but
kids.
But it's not that wife and kids. They're all actors. Everyone else in it is acting. All the agents and all the...
It is
slightly confusing. Okay, the funny thing is, Steve loves the fact that it's confusing to people. He thinks it's funny. Rob gets slightly annoyed by it.
Now?
Because in series two, famously, Rob had a little affair at...
You heard it here first. Affairette.
He had a one night stand.
And a small affair.
And I think it was a bit difficult for him initially because people did assume it really happened. And it was like, but really, wouldn't you have to be a bit thick to think they'd show on TV having an affair?
And if you thought you are not stupid.
It's not Big Brother, is it?
Well, is anything really real? That's a bigger question.
Well, they're improvising this stuff as we see them doing it, and they're eating real food, and the restaurants are real. So it is slightly confusing.
Sorry, I definitely didn't have a confusion about whether they were or were not eating fish in the first episode. I was certain that was fish. Because in great detail in the first episode, you see the waiter filleting, and I was but actually, I actually did find that quite fascinating.
Yeah, so you see them making the food, yeah.
But sorry, in answer to your question to me and Kay, did you, Kay, find it too old men talking and think it was boring?
No, I loved it. I like you, Boyd, I really like both Steve and Rob. I have to say Rob is my favourite. I love Partridge, you know, big fan. Dan! No, can't talk about Dan John anymore. Like Rob is fantastic, and one of my favourite bits actually was them talking about how they'd kill each other, right?
I think that was good.
And so obviously Steve says, you know, he'd be very like kind to Rob and would just slice his head off, behead him.
Because they're talking about Anne Boleyn, aren't they?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
But
what I loved is just Rob going into great detail of like, no, I'd absolutely shoot you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And went in such great detail of like, I'd do it at the arcade. You've been playing the slots.
Yeah.
I just, I love the fact that quite a lot of the time it just seems like it's just them having a chat. Yeah.
It's effortless, isn't it?
Exactly. Oh, that's a good word. Effortless. Mm. Totally effortless. And freewheeling. It's like, you know, and it's there's not hardly any plot to speak of. So there's that stuff about their private lives, I guess, is about as much plot as you get. You know, Steve is a bit in love with this woman in New York, and she talks about in the first episode. She doesn't really. That comes back later on. I've seen the whole series. I've binged on the whole. The whole thing's available to binge on Sky and Now TV. Yeah. Not sponsors, official sponsors yet.
And
it has a really amazingly weird ending as well. Let me forewarn you about that.
Oh.
It's really weird. It goes completely weird, absolutely bizarre.
Really?
Yeah. So that's
God. Okay, watch out for that. Is it more bizarre than watching a fish being filleted for seven minutes?
It's completely out of kilter with the whole thing. But I thought it was great. It's really interesting. Anyway, the impressions though as well. I mean, they are, aren't they? I mean, you know,
the Mick Jagger impression is amazing, but also the fact that they're kind of one-upmanship about the impressions. Yeah. But sorry, can I just say? I mean, I don't think it's just me.
Don't say that someone killed someone else. No, but you can say whatever you like.
Oh my God, do you think Rob Brydon did? No, I'm joking.
No, what I am going to say is that I don't know what it is, but I have just really developed a huge crush on Steve Coogan.
Steve Coogan,
like, I found him incredibly attractive. That kind of, that jumper that he's wearing in the first episode, it's kind of like a light knit. I was like, this is breathable.
You're turned on by Coogan's light knit.
Never before have I looked at Steve Coogan and thought, we've got a future together.
There was an interesting thing there, because if you go back and look, I think both first series and second series are on Netflix, I think. And if you look at them, especially the first series, they both look pretty terrible. I mean, like,
scathing.
They look much better now, both of them. But particularly Steve. Steve's lost loads of weight. He looks very sharp. He stopped drinking.
He was never fat before.
Oh my God,
he wasn't fat. No, he's just like a normal 50-year-old guy. He's in his 50s. They're
you know what it
50s.
Is? It's like the third season fashion explosion. It happened with Sex and the City. In the third season, when they were allowed to use that Fendi baguette, and it just started exploding, and people were giving them loads and loads of fashion stuff, like proper designers, won't mention them because lots of designers are out there. This is what's happened. They've got their fashion together, and now they're both looking really hot.
So did you fancy Coogan before this?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like
just the trip
I am all
aflutter
because of that light knit. And I don't know.
And his wits, dry wit and impression.
No, I'm wits solely,
the
attire.
That is weird. That's weird.
No, it's sexy.
Can I also just say I found it very educational, because one of my favourite facts is that carrots in Welsh is moron. I enjoy that a lot. Yeah, that's courtesy of Rob. He said that, and I was like, yeah, I'm into that. I'm going to go to Wales and use that.
I can tell you, I thought we like to be factual, isn't it? Some factual information on this podcast. We don't
of
it's not just to be us rambling
no.
on. So let
Why
me say now,
that?
If you wondered what they ate in that episode, so it was set in episode one, it was in a restaurant called Rocco, TXOKO, Rocco.
Oh, is that how you pronounce that?
I think so.
It's
I mean,
Catalan,
I may be
it?
Wrong. Sorry. Is it
Catalan?
Or is it the other thing? Or is it Basque?
Oh, okay.
I think one of us here has a Spanish degree, and that's Kay.
CC.
Fair enough. Anyway, I can tell you what they ate, right? This is what they ate. They had anchoas a la paella, grilled anchovies, hierros a la paella, scallops.
Wow.
Sol grillé para tu personas.
Oh my God, I think a million Spanish people have stopped listening to this podcast.
And you will learn Spanish as you listen to this podcast
grilled
as a byproduct.
Flounder prepared for two people at the table, which was the fish thing you're talking about.
I thought that was fascinating.
Qué bueno.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I'd let you know if people want to have their own grilled flounders to recreate the trip to Italy with Rob Brydon and Steve Cooder. So we're all agreed it's brilliant, isn't it?
It's brilliant. And also,
a must see.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than when you get a bit of fish and there's a bit of bone in it and you're like, oh God, no, that's not the texture I wanted. So the filleting thing is of merit.
The filleting and the knit.
Yeah.
Filleting knit. There's two big pickups, big takeouts. Is that pickups, takeouts? Both. Takeaways?
Yeah.
Whatever the phrase
wouldn't
is.
Want to take away a fish bone, but okay.
Spain.
Each to their own.
So the trip to Spain is now available in full.
In full.
By the way, on Sky Atlantic and Now TV Box. It's also, I just want to mention this, it's on Ultra HD. 4K Ooh. Ultra. If you've got Sky Q, like me.
Hold on. I'm going to say something about this Ultra HD. Because, okay. Is it just me or can you see too much? Okay. Uh-huh. Because I feel like you can. I'm like, I don't want to see.
Well, you can see every crease in Steve Coogan's face, and all that knit is going to be so vibrant. Imagine the knit you're going to get carried away.
You're going to absolutely lose yourself.
Do you know what? With that one sentence, you've changed my mind.
Have you got UHD?
Ultra HD. Yeah, I have, but I don't watch it because I like things in soft focus.
No, except for that knit stuff.
I like a romantic.
Get on that knit.
Ultra HD, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to see the hairs up your nostrils.
But here's a hint, if anyone's listening who has got Sky Q with Ultra HD. It's not weirdly when I couldn't find it initially, the Ultra HD version of the trip,
because you have to change. It's
in the catch up bit.
Yeah,
no, it's in the catch up bit, and then UHD. It's not in the just normal box set bit. The UHD, at least it wasn't when I was looking.
God, this is so functional. This podcast,
I know,
it's like a guide to how to use your TV. Or just look on the internet or look up your manual. But no, Boyd has also told you.
Yeah, throw away your menu. Throw away your manual. We've got Boyd.
Don't throw away your menu. Next, Doctor Who.
Oh.
And I'm really excited about this because I haven't. So just to fill in
the listener. Let's shout out to all the Whovians out there.
Shout out to the Whovians. So I hosted the Doctor Who launch of this series last week in London's fashionable Soho.
Oh.
And I got to have an interview with Peter Capaldi, Doctor Who. Matt Lucas, who plays Nardole, who's kind of a new companion, but not companion. But he's in a lot of this series,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question about that. Yeah.
Ask away. Okay. And Pearl Mackie, who is the official new proper companion, Bill.
Great name.
So this is the start of, this is the season premiere. It's the 10th season of the rebooted Doctor Who. So Doctor Who goes back 53 years or something like that.
53 years? But that's half the time that you've been the editor of the entertainment section.
Exactly.
That is a long time.
It was famously rebooted about 10 years ago by Russell T. Davis, the brilliant Chris Vett writer with, you know, and it was great. Christopher Eccleston played Doctor for 1 year. Now we're on the 10th series of that reboot, if you like, BBC One, Saturdays.
So
I'm just explaining it.
Is there only like the 18th year of this or what?
Okay.
We'll get to the point.
I mean, as in, has this, it's been going on for so, I didn't realise.
Exactly. That's why I mentioned it, because I think,
novice.
I don't think you two do.
Well, when was the guy with the really colourful scarf in it?
The guy with the really colourful...
You know
Matt
the colourful scarf?
So
no,
Baker,
it's like a long scarf and it was lots of colours, like a Technicolour scarf.
Oh, Rupert.
Oh, you mean which Doctor
Rupert
Who?
The bear.
Which Doctor?
Yeah, when was that?
She's fixated on the knit again.
That was probably Tom Baker, wasn't it? That was probably Tom Baker.
How many Doctors have there been?
13?
Oh, unlucky 13.
I think it's 13.
Oh, I thought they might have skipped number
13. I should know that, but I'm pretty sure it's 13, yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, go on.
I was rambling on about Doctor Who. I'm setting the scene because... Okay. So I am a Whovian. I love the show. I love the reboot. I think this current Doctor Who is brilliant. Peter Capaldi, and I host the thing, interviewed him, it was great. But I wanted to get the opinions of two, you know, people who haven't watched the show, people who don't give
just
a shit
say
about
it. Doctor Who virgins. I don't mind, I'm happy
Doctor
with that.
Two virgins. So,
right.
Let's start with you, Steph. So the first episode is called The Pilot. Now, one of the reasons it's called The Pilot...
I'm so confused by that.
It's supposed to be... So the very first episode of Doctor Who that went out in 1963 or whatever was, you know, the pilot episode, if you like.
But this is my point, right? I was
really
confused.
And he is also a pilot.
So when I started watching it, I was like, The Pilot? I was like, what? I don't get it, because that's what you call a new show. Anyway, that's just a minor thing.
Yeah, yeah, but it had two meanings. It's a play on how this is a kind of like a reboot of this of the show with a new companion.
Oh, say what you mean. So right. I don't have double meanings to everything.
And he's also the pilot of the TARDIS and everything. And there's also, yeah, there's other piloting going on. So it introduces Pearl Mackie as his new companion, yeah. Bill. She, just a plot, quick plot thing, she falls for, she's working at university as in the canteen. She's not a student.
Yeah, she likes the ladies.
Yeah, he's really, really likes her. She goes to see his, he's working as a professor undercover for some reason at this university, the doctor. She goes to see his lectures because she loves them. And he befriends her, finds out, she falls for this girl and who turns out to be creepy and weird. I'm trying not to spoil it, by the way.
Yeah.
Starting on
I don't
Saturday.
Think you're doing a very good job, because I now feel like I know it all.
This is the basic plot.
Okay, all right.
And then Matt Lucas' Nardole, who's this weird alien that the Doctor befriended in the last two Christmas specials,
he is, weird.
Is also helping out as well. Kay, what did you think?
I have to say, do you know what? I have studiously avoided Doctor Who throughout the whole of my life.
Please
26
send no
years.
Hate mail.
And I actually really enjoyed it.
Did you?
I enjoyed it because I think with this, what's her name? Bill.
Pearl Mackie.
I thought, you know what, it's really good for me, because as someone who hasn't watched it, it was a complete introduction, because she's new to it as well. So then she was asking all the questions that
exactly.
I would ask, you know, like, you know, what is,
point.
Yeah, like, what is this box, you the know,
TARDIS.
The TARDIS,
yeah.
Is it a lift? That's the kind of thing I would say. Yeah. Or I'd also, I think she says at some point, do you know any sci-fi to the Doctor? That's
yeah.
the kind of thing I would say. So I felt like it was like a good introduction to it for me. And I, it was, you know, it was action-packed and it was fun, and it wasn't as geek, I mean, don't hate me, but I thought it'd be a real super geek fest. But
and
I think
you
if
like,
you're a normal, you can watch it.
And she's
enjoy
great,
it.
Isn't she? I think so. This is Pearl
yeah,
Mackie,
she's,
right?
I really liked her.
She's 29, first of all, and she looked much younger.
Oh my
she
god,
she looks
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah.
And
it's
also,
incredible.
Another reason why I liked it is because I love her hair. She's got
great
she gives
hair.
Good hair.
She gives good, she gives great hair.
And the thing is, so the interesting thing is, there was a big story because she gave an interview last week when, you know, I think one of her first big interviews, she talked about how the character is a gay woman. She's a lesbian,
yeah.
I think, which is the first companion.
And she's mixed
companion.
Race. So she's like mixed race.
Right.
Got an amazing
yeah.
afro,
now,
and she's
yeah.
she's gay.
So obviously it shouldn't be an issue. Look,
no,
she's
because
gay,
there's loads of those people
and at the,
out there.
At the launch where Stephen Moffat made this brilliant speech about how he doesn't want people to stop talking about it because it shouldn't
yeah.
be an issue. But it's brilliant that it is representing that, particularly because it's a show partly for kids. But what
yeah.
did you think of her?
Listen, I love her because she sounds like someone from Luton, which is my hometown. She sounds like, so she's like down with the kids. My favourite thing was that I love an acronym, and I didn't realise, okay, again, obviously I'm probably the only person in the world who didn't, I didn't realise that TARDIS actually, I've written it down here so I remember it forever.
Oh, I'm sorry about you saying this. Yeah, go on.
Time and relative dimension in space.
I didn't know that either. That was an interesting fact for me as a novice.
Wow, this whole time I just... My only exposure to Doctor Who before this was when I was really, really young and the Dalek things, those things that look a bit like a Smeg fridge on, on crack. Like a coming to
Smeg fridge on crack?
Yeah.
They're coming, that's what a Dalek is to you.
To me, that's what it is, and they're very frightening.
I think to a lot of people.
I mean... Look, I'm going to be totally, totally honest with you.
We only want honesty on this podcast.
Always be honest.
It's definitely not for me.
You, right.
Because,
okay.
Shall I tell you why?
Yes.
I am one of those horrendous people who has been completely spoiled by HBO, slick, Netflix, sci-fi, high production. I just think for me, it wasn't as... It felt like the production. It was kind of like, to me, it was like an Amdram version. I know this is scathing. I'm so sorry. But I just want to be honest because there are people, like, for me, it was like an Amdram version of something that you, a Netflix sci-fi thing. Like,
what like a lot of Whovians will love about it.
They will love it. Okay. And if you love then that's great. But also,
so you thought compared to like, big productions you get on Netflix, like Stranger Things or The O.A.
So basically, the last thing I watched was The O.A.
Right.
And for me, I thought that was incredible.
I mean, yeah.
And I think just the movie-like quality of all of these incredible series that we're seeing in Netflix
My
drops
God, you
lately.
You should have seen what it was like in 1983.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean...
Weirdly, I quite liked it for the reason
maybe people do like it. That, but I think that's probably... hindered my enjoyment of it. I loved the girl Pearl. I thought she was great. I really loved Peter Capaldi.
He was good.
Matt Lucas, great. What I did think is like, oh my god, maybe I should watch it because I love David Tennant when he was Doctor, because I'd have loved him to see what he was like in that role.
Yeah,
he's not anymore, so we can't. But maybe I'll go back and watch it. But yeah, I liked it. But I mean, again, not giving too much away, I kind of felt like, oh god, can this whole thing really be about Puddle?
Well,
sorry.
Yeah, to some extent it is. Yeah, spoiler alert. But the puddle is featured quite heavily. I like the puddle. It's a neat idea, isn't it? It's a puddle. How is a puddle kind of slightly a monster in Doctor Who?
Yeah.
That's the mystery of the show, by the way, listeners. I think, as a huge Whovian, as a huge Who fan, I thought this is one of the best series premieres for a long time.
Really?
Because I think she's definitely the best companion for years.
She's very relatable.
Likeable,
I don't know what the other ones.
Very relatable, as you say. Likeable. I think her acting is brilliant because there's some moments where she has to be quite moot. She falls in love with this girl, clearly.
Yeah.
I thought she did that brilliantly. I thought she did the funny bits really well. And I just think her, the three of them, her, Matt Lucas kind of comments on what's going on. You know what I mean? He kind of makes funny.
He's a little bit
sly,
funny.
Yeah,
really funny. So I just think, as a trio, I think they're going to be really good together, travelling around the universe
in time
and space.
So she's his permanent assistant. So Matt is, no.
Yeah, she's in every episode in this series.
Okay.
Matt is not in every episode, but most of them.
So where did he pick Matt up from?
So he's been in the last two Christmas specials. He met him two Christmas specials ago. He was just an alien who was part of that story. I don't know, that's going into great detail.
Okay,
so he's this alien figure whose actually head got lopped off and stuff. And
he grew it back well.
And then the doctors decided to, he needs it. Almost as his valet and assistant.
But Peter Capaldi's, is this Peter Capaldi's last...
Series, yeah.
Oh, well, why are you trying to get me into it now when I'm going to have to say goodbye to Peter Capaldi?
Well, there's 13 episodes and a Christmas special, so it'll be fine.
Oh, Boydo, right, who enough. Do you think is going to be the next Doctor Who?
Oh, good question.
I have no idea, but I don't think it's going to be any of the favourites that all the bookies go on about, like
about
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
What about this girl?
And,
yeah,
I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Why would she be Doctor Who? I just don't.
Who would
see
you,
her.
As an esteemed critic, like to see as Doctor Who?
That's a good question. I mean, if you could have anyone in the world, it'd probably be. I mean, one of the ones that people were betting was Tilda Swinton, who is one of the greatest.
Oh, she'd be fantastic.
God, I would. See, that would make me really want to watch it.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen. Why would Tilda Swinton, who has a pick of any role in any film or TV show in the world, why would she
because
go
she might
film
be a
for
Whovian.
10 months in Cardiff?
She might be a Whovian. Well, see, this is what I'm saying about
the
production.
Because she can use the word moron, which means carrot. That's probably one reason she'd want to go to Wales.
Do you know what? I once saw Tilda Swinton, the only celebrity I ever saw in New York, walking down the street in New York. My God, that woman is arresting.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Did she look like Doctor Who to you?
And I thought to myself, that one day, that woman, that girl's going to catch a break and she's going to get Doctor Who.
She's going to get in that wooden box.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be her. I don't think it'll be any of those kinds of people. I think it'll be an actor kind of like as famous as Matt Smith was when he got the role, which is not that famous. And it'll probably be younger because they, Peter Capaldi, who's brilliant, is quite a middle-aged guy. I think it'll be a younger, thrusty,
well, you're going to eat your words when Tilda takes it up.
But not. I think it'll be a man again. You I think are. A woman. Anyway, thank you very much for your honest appraisal of Doctor Who.
Yeah, don't kill
brutal,
me, please.
Brutally
sorry.
Blunt, honest appraisal of Doctor Who. No, it was really good. So, the season premiere of Doctor Who is on this Saturday. One might even call it Easter Saturday on BBC One at 7:20 p.m. Let's move on to a podcast, S-Town.
Oh, S-Town.
Steph, what the hell is S-Town, in case anyone doesn't know?
Okay, so S-Town, right, from the makers of... If you are someone who loves podcasts, you may listen to This American Life, which is Ira Glass's podcast that's been going for years and years and years, and you, like everybody else in the world, probably had listened to Serial, Sarah Koenig's. Now, from the people that brought you Serial and This American Life... is S-Town. Okay, so S-Town stands for Shit Town, and it's basically a story about a man's life, okay? You are drawn into it because a man has contacted the radio station and he's saying, look, I need your help investigating a murder. I live in Shit Town, Alabama. It's this awful place. You need to do something about it. Really caught their attention, and so they started to investigate. And then this is basically an investigation that goes on for 3 years. It isn't what you think it's going to be in the first podcast. Somebody does die in it.
Because you think it's going to be a true crime.
You think
Serial
it's going to be...
true crime,
this
right?
is the
There's
thing.
A whole genre of true crime.
You think it's going to be a whodunit.
So, but, you know, like, whodunit, but
with
it's
the second,
not.
Yeah, the second series of Serial, everyone was really upset because they also thought that was going to be a murder mystery, and it wasn't a murder mystery. And this isn't a murder mystery either, but it is an incredible look at somebody's life.
John McElroy,
man's life. Yeah.
It's like
McElroy.
A character study, isn't it? Of this very...
study.
Unique, eccentric, brilliant, yeah. flawed character.
Now, Kay and I discussed, I just want to say this before, because it's hard with these things, isn't it? So, unlike Serial, which was weekly and went out weekly for quite a lot, over a long period of time, this is all there now. This is a binge listen.
Right.
So, it's seven episodes, isn't it? It's about seven hours.
It's roughly about 7 hours. Some of the episodes are slightly longer than others.
And it did drop a couple of weeks ago. So, it's not, you know, people pick this, people, you know, word of mouth spreads and people say, but Kay and I discussed, you weren't in this discussion because, you know, you're on.
You're too busy curving on Steve
Coogan. We discussed how much do we give away? Do we do spoilers? No, I think I might have changed my mind live because when we talk to Cass, we can do a spoiler and discuss what happens really. Shouldn't we? I don't know.
Okay.
What's your feeling?
Well, I suppose I think I watched, I did not watch, I listened to this. I got tonsillitis, as you too well know. And so I listened to this in one day because I couldn't actually. I listened to 7 hours.
Amazing.
And I, like, it was.
That's an intense session.
It was epic, but I just couldn't wait to see what this story was really going to be about.
Right.
I feel like you shouldn't give it away.
Is it enough? I think that now as well. I think it's enough for us to say, maybe, Kay, that, as you say, it starts out, you think it's going to be whodunit. So this John McElroy figure, who's this extraordinary 50-something guy living in this unbelievable house with 13 dogs and a maze that he built himself, an actual maze in his, like, forest
Better than
area,
Hampton Court Palace.
Yeah.
That he thinks a murder's been committed, it's been covered up, right? So that we can give away the fact that actually that's not what it's about.
No.
And I think we can say it's about him, but I think any more than that spoils it,
doesn't
it?
You don't want to get
down. So there's a big revelation at the end of episode two. We'll say that, right?
But stick with it after. What I would say is what I've said to everybody else is that, right, okay, because most people were like, after episode, they were like, oh, it's not what I thought it was going to be, I'm not going to listen anymore. But listen, because actually it is an incredible insight into the life of a human being. I mean,
absolutely.
I think
what's so incredible about him.
Make sure you get to episode three.
Yeah. Because then you'll keep going. Because then you will keep going. Yeah.
What is it about him, Kay? Because I think there's so many threads to his life. He's one of the greatest clockmakers in the world.
That's a bit of a spoiler.
Sorry.
Yeah, that is a spoiler.
Sorry.
But he's
a clockmaker. That's not the big spoiler.
Yeah. I did learn the word horologist, which I was excited
about. Yeah.
But he's extraordinary. He's fascinating, isn't he?
He's so fascinating and he's so complex. And like when we first get introduced to him in episode one and two.
You think he's mad, don't you? You're like, oh, he's
a bit
weird.
Mad, but you can tell he's very super intelligent.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, I love his accent as well because they're from Alabama and stuff.
He's got an Alabama drawl.
Oh, my God.
Like,
can I just say,
drawl.
One of the things that I found so amazing is I think there's kind of the view that because of everything that happened in America with Trump, that everybody lives in the South States of America, we all think, oh, they are all Trump lovers and stuff like that. And to listen to him talk about what he thinks about kind of politics and climate change and stuff like that.
He's obsessed with climate change.
Is so interesting.
That's
and
not
you're
a statement.
Like, yeah.
That's not a spoiler.
But I think what's interesting is, you know, you start out having this opinion of him, thinking he's a certain way, and then over time you realise actually he's quite contradictory and like he's quite complex. And when you get towards the end of it, you're discovering this new side of him, and like It's just a fascinating character study of this man who I've grown, and I'm sure you did, very fond of.
Yeah, you do.
And he's got this extraordinary...
Very heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time.
Absolutely. And again, without spoiling it, he's got this very intense, very close relationship with this young guy called Tyler Goodson, who is the guy... This isn't spoiling it. Tyler Goodson is the guy who tells him that this murder might have happened, that some guy's going around boasting about it. And their relationship is extraordinary and fascinating and unusual and weird.
But I tell you what, at the end of S-Town, I found myself wanting more information about Tyler Goodson.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
The only thing I would say. I would say a podcast on Tyler Goodson and what happens to him, I would love.
Yeah.
I would like to know about his life.
We should say, of course, the whole thing, Brian Reed is the guy who hosts it and narrates the whole story, and the guy who 3 years ago, however long time ago, went to meet John and spent an incredible amount of time in this place, in this S-town in
Alabama.
Don't
you think that he's, like, the great thing about the whole This American Life team, they're so genuine. Like, all the people that they have, like Sarah Koenig, the way that she, obviously, her incredible presenting style, and I think that Brian has that as well.
So can I ask you one thing? I have read articles. Now, this happens. This is podcasts. These podcasts about real people in real lives.
Yeah.
True crime ones.
Yeah.
The Richard Simmons one. That's another famous podcast.
Missing Richard Simmons. Incredible.
What people are saying about them is that they're too intrusive and that they're morally suspect. And now, a lot of people said that about the Richard Simmons one because he's still around. He is around. You know, he's alive and he's a pet celebrity.
Just in
decided
his house.
To drop out.
Well, not sorry, we've given that
invading,
away.
He's invading his life.
Yeah.
With this one. Okay, without giving it away, I've read articles saying this is too intrusive into John B. McLemore's life, and it's not right. It's
and
morally
it's
suspect.
Kay,
hands up.
Yeah.
I've got my hand up to say, there's probably a lot of truth in that. However, with this one, the counter argument is that actually he got in touch with Brian.
Yeah,
he sought that out. He started this whole chain of events. You know, like Brian didn't suddenly randomly put his finger down the phone directory and go, right, that's that guy. He invited this. He was complicit in it. He talked a lot at length to Brian. So I don't think.
I think you're right. I think that's a very good point. Thank you. I think the bottom line is you've got to, if you haven't listened to it. You have to listen to S-Town.
Say is you've got to listen to S-Town and this brilliant podcast next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Finally, in our big major preview and review section, we're previewing a big new Netflix series, which is called Girl Boss. This drops all 13 episodes. It's a half-hour show. It arrives on Friday on Netflix. Kay, explain roughly what it's about.
Oh, do I have to?
Okay, so basically... I can if you want.
Steph, explainer. Right. Sophie Amoruso wrote this book about how she was basically, she was a bit of a pain and she was a bit of a, she a directionless young girl. But actually what happened was she began selling vintage clothes on eBay and then she got a multi-million dollar company, which is called Nasty Girl.
Yep.
Nasty Girl. So it's based on her life and stars the brilliant Britt Robertson, who I love. But she's got brown hair in this.
She was in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, she was in Tomorrowland with Clooney. Ooh.
So the reason why I didn't want to explain it is because I did not like this one jot.
Yeah. Oh my God!
I know.
Oh.
Just come out and say it, Kay.
Listen, controversial, I know. Like, I mean, it's not for moi, okay? That's what I would say.
Why isn't it for toi?
Boyd,
I'm so
French.
Surprised.
Spanish, French, so multilingual. Before I knew the backstory to this, so I just watched it independently of
You went in cold.
I went in cold, like I did with most things, actually.
So just like a half-hour comedy thing about this woman who's in New York or whatever, and you didn't like her? Or?
And as a half-an-hour, inverted commas, comedy thing, I didn't find it very funny.
Right.
And, she's meant to be this kind of, Sophia, is meant to be this, like, kooky, kind of more edgier version of, almost like Jess from New Girl, right? She's, like, kooky, she's like,
That's so interesting you say that.
For me, I just found her so unlikable. And I found actually elements of it so cheesy. I was like, oh God.
Cheesy?
Where
was the cheese?
Where was the fromage? Donde está le fromage? No, where was it? I don't know, certain lines, the bits with the dad, and the walking up
her
the
dad,
thing
by the way, played by Dean Norris out of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah,
there's a scene where her dad takes her for dinner and it's very awkward.
Yeah, and then even the phone call she makes afterwards. I didn't find it funny. And then you gave me the little fact sheet because Boydo very helpfully provides these fact sheets. And I read it and I realised it was based on real life. And it made me feel like, stupidly, I don't know why, that I should like it a bit more. But I was like, no, I just can't bring myself to think that this is great.
Do you know what? For exactly the same reasons I loved it. Do you know what it really reminds me of? The her character, she isn't... She's likeable and dislikeable in equal measure, in the same way, just to bring up, that Carrie Bradshaw is. She's a really, yeah. She's a flawed woman. And I just find that so interesting. I'm so glad they haven't made her like this kooky, extremely likable person who's then, because you almost kind of don't want her to make a million-dollar company. You're like, and in there, there's a line in there. She was like, why am I such an arsehole?
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, why are you such an arsehole?
Yeah,
and I just think,
moment,
I love
yeah.
that. I love that about it.
I
because
agree, yeah.
I think we are just flooded with these really likeable, like, blonde American girls who dress amazingly, and the whole thing where she buys the jacket and she's like, I'm going to give you a tip, you know your shit, you know you're selling
yeah.
this is an amazing
arrogant,
jacket
isn't she? Yeah.
She's arrogant, she's
mm.
she is like probably you know she's equal parts of a lot of women out there, because we're not all as delightful as Kay and I all the time, but you're not, and I really love that about her. I thought it made her so much more
yeah.
interesting.
I agree with you. I thought it was very bold, that because the first scene is her in a car breaking down in the middle of a San Francisco
yeah.
hill with a car behind with a what's
with
it called?
with a tram
behind her. Thank
yeah.
you. Well, I think of the word tram with a tram behind her, and she's all well, flustered, and she's being really even then
she's
like
so
just
egotistical.
Go past me.
Yeah, she's
like, so egotistical and self-centered. Yeah. She thinks the tram can go past even if it's on a track.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny, and I agree with you. I thought it was very clever that she is that dislikable
yeah.
for the first half of the first episode. Of course, there are 13. We haven't seen the rest of the... Full disclosure, we haven't seen the rest
no.
of the 12 episodes. But I like the fact that she was dislikable, and then that, as you picked out that key moment where she said, why am I such an arsehole?
That was a great line.
It
yeah.
was a great line. And I thought... I didn't think it was brilliant, so I didn't think... like I don't feel... for me, the key thing about Netflix is, obviously, their USP is, right, whole series... dropped in one go, binge on the whole thing, all of
yeah.
that. Sometimes, as in with The OC and Stranger Things, those big dramas,
yeah.
I feel, right, I've got to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
And The OC, I pretty much...
Did
like,
you mean The OC?
Serial.
You don't mean The OC.
Not
The OC.
The OA.
I was very excited about The OC, and I was
watch
like...
Watch The OC, because
you know
that's
what? We could edit...
California, here we come.
Yeah, so you didn't mean that, did you?
No, I didn't. And we could edit that out. I think we should keep in me being an old man who forgets the name, gets confused between The OC and The OA.
What can you do?
And I've got a head cold. You two singing the theme tune of The OC.
Well, there you go.
You're right. I meant the OA, which was one of my favourite things, right? So that I watched, binge watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think with the comedies on Netflix, this is more of a comedy, isn't it? It's hard.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need to binge watch them.
Well,
even like Kimmy Schmidt, which is their big, I think it's probably been their big hit comedy.
Yeah.
I never felt the need to watch all
no,
of that
no,
in
no.
one go.
You can, but also it's kind of sometimes you can have those things on in the background, dare I say.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes
yeah.
you can have, especially with Kimmy Schmidt, you don't have to, it's not cerebral enough that you have to pay
no.
too much attention to it.
But I did feel I happily carry on watching it, but I didn't feel I have to carry on watching it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm kind of, I think I'm halfway between the two. Are you going to watch all the rest of it?
I think she is an incredibly interesting character. I find Britt Robertson incredibly watchable, and I love that she's taken on a role of someone who is dislikable.
And we should say, as with a lot of this kind of stuff on streaming services, there's a lot of sex, swearing and nudity.
Okay. As there
do
is
we need to say that?
In this podcast.
Well, it's not a warning.
All naked. Full disclosure, just tell everyone, what are we wearing? Nothing.
Except John.
Except Dan John. Who's fully clothed.
Which is a bit
embarrassing.
He's full on got a balaclava on.
Yeah.
No, I think the flaw about her being unlikable, though, is, and I see why you think it's like Steph saying it's like a positive, is that if someone is so unlikable, then you're not really rooting for them, and then you're not really inclined to watch the next episode.
Yeah, but I'm hoping bad things happen to her, which I think is going to be
funny.
Okay.
Oh,
but no,
also,
but like, you know, yeah. I think, oh, it's going to be interesting to see how she does. You know, like when she gets fired
yeah.
in the show, and she's just, and you're like, of course you should be fired. You're a terrible person. You're really rude. Like, how are you getting away with this? But then, you know, there's people like that in life. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, I don't mind unlikable characters.
No,
generally.
I don't either think they're interesting.
I don't, but when yeah. they're the lead character,
okay.
and also, you know, my other gripe was that I just didn't think the writing was sharp enough. Like, it wasn't funny.
But how about that hot man? Let's turn to something you
oh,
wore.
Hello.
Like,
yeah,
oh, my
I
God,
mean,
that guy. Who is that guy who was the drummer?
She sleeps with this guy, but doesn't have sex.
But doesn't have sex. Oh, my
yeah,
God,
he's
so
hot.
Good
yeah,
looking.
He's hot, yeah.
yeah.
I'm swaying slightly towards Kay, because I do think the script, I think that it could have been funny. I agree with that, the first episode. But I think we should say with this, when you've got 13 episodes to watch, maybe... Episodes
look,
2, 3,
why
4,
can't we let these things grow?
We're
so impatient. We insist things drop all immediately, all 13 episodes, and we can't wait to start to like
anyway,
something.
I think the listeners should like watch it and then tweet us and tell us what you think.
The millions of listeners.
So that's basically my mum, your mum,
girl
yeah.
boss.
Mom.
drops Netflix Friday, all 13 episodes.
Yeah.
You make up your own mind. Finally, we're reaching the end. We've been going on for hours.
We've been wittering on.
Apologies in advance.
All the listeners have had another birthday.
I mean, we welcome your feedback. You know, if you think we've been going on too long, if you think, you know, just tell us what you think. You know, on iTunes or wherever the hell the podcast.
Tell us what you think, as long as it's nice.
But every week, what we are going to do is question time.
And because we can't afford the music, here's Kay and I humming it a little bit.
Oh,
did I do the Steve Sunday thing?
Yeah. That sounded a bit like...
Question time.
That's the new theme. That's the theme music for our question time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get you to ask us any question you want about something on TV or pop culture or whatever. This kind of thing. So our first question this week is... Like, I haven't written down who sent the question. Do you know who sent the question?
Oh, it was Molly. Was it Molly?
Molly Whitehead.
Oh, thank you. She has asked, in Girls... And this is a great example of what the kind of thing we want to respond to. In Girls, should Hannah be with Adam? Steph.
100% yes.
Ooh.
When two people are really messed up, the only thing to do is get together and hope you can make something work... And bring up a child that you don't mess up. Definitely yes.
Kay.
Absolutely not.
Oh my God.
Can I just say we haven't rehearsed this. We didn't know you'd disagree about this topic.
Carry on, Kay.
I always wanted Hannah and Adam to get back together. And you know that episode when they were like, you know, but he was running through everything that he was going to do to help her with the baby. And I was like, oh my God, yes, it's coming true. And then when she said no, I was like, you're totally right, because you know what? So much has happened between them. And I personally just feel that if your boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, hooks up with your friend, can you really go back there?
I know, but when it's Jessa, I mean, she's just... Like,
exactly.
She's just
I mean, he's going to be riddled.
She's so sexual,
thing.
Though.
He's going to be absolutely riddled. I don't think you can avoid her. I just don't agree with it.
She was very sexual in that episode.
Do you know what I mean? She was like, oh, that was horrible.
That was sad. Yeah.
But back to Hannah.
My heart says yes, but my head realistically says no, they shouldn't be together.
But you should follow your heart.
Should you?
Oh, you see, this is what I was going to say, because I think I use this big word, misinterpret. I think the whole point of that scene, which we talked about right at the beginning of the podcast, where after half an hour of the two of them getting back together, sleeping with each other, him saying, I'm going to help you bring up your baby.
That sex scene was very awkward.
Overly nice to her, and her kind of like, you know, being all lovey-dovey.
It wasn't true to their previous
relationship. The realisation was she doesn't love him. She just doesn't love it. I think that was, to me, that was why she was crying. I think she sat there and she looked at him and she thought, it's not real. It's not like what all of the stuff you're doing isn't real. And I don't believe that you want to do this. I don't believe you love me that deeply. I just thought that was my interpretation of it.
And I think after
all their experience together, she thought, actually, he's a bit, I mean, I'm already giving more into it now, but I think he's kind of a bit too shallow for her and a bit too, he's very prone to,
because she
like,
thinks she's got this much bigger thing going on.
I think she's
on.
More, yeah, I think this is real. She's going to have this baby and it's the most real thing that's ever happened in her life. And she's moving on and she's got to move on for him. I think he represents, I mean, I love him.
Should she be with Riz Ahmed then? I mean, we should all be with Riz Ahmed.
Well, we should be with Riz Ahmed.
Other than Steve Cooper.
Potentially, but he pretty much did dismiss the idea.
Paul Louis.
I just think he represents Adam. He's incredibly, he's beautiful. He's got, you know, incredible body. He's very talented. He's smart. He's funny. But there's something about him that, to me, is like, it's not, he's not a fully functioning human being who really
two
should be
together.
But that's what
well.
I think.
Narcissist,
I think,
that's
yeah,
the word.
But I like when two kooky people, I just think, you know, two kooky people getting together, it's just like, just try and see
but
what
she's
happens.
Gone beyond narcissism. I think that's going to be the big ending, I think. And this is the start of it.
Have you seen it? Well, she has said a lot.
No, I haven't seen it, no.
Well, what she said, hasn't she, about the end of it, she was like, look, what happens is they will have all grown up, They've grown.
Well, some
all
more
the
than
characters.
Others, though, I think. Yeah.
Marnie,
I think
she will not grow. No. She refuses.
Oh, but I thought that Marnie. was so brilliant about that moment when, you know, without any dialogue, she just looked at him and thought, no, you know. No.
Well, I'm still hoping they get back together.
I hope they don't.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I hope they don't. But well, I'm very invested in Ray and Abigail, just an aside.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
I'm very into them.
So Abigail, adorable. Great new character.
Even though Shoshi's one of my favourite characters, I think that's a better fit.
If people get what they deserve, basically, Marnie will be alone at her mum's at the end.
Yep.
In my eyes, Adam and Hannah will be together.
No.
Jessa will just be...
Jessa and Adam belong with each other.
No, they don't. Oh, my God. let's not fight
get into
it
that. Out.
Anyway, we will review the last ever episode of Girls without any doubt on this very podcast after it goes out. So it goes out on Easter Monday,
yeah,
which is next Monday, and we will be the week after on Tuesday. We'll review it. We'll review the hell out of it. That's what we're going to do.
About what's
that's
happen.
The kind of thing that's going to happen on this podcast, Kate.
It's exciting. I'm excited.
Let me just. I think we've come to the end. I think we've been droning on a lot. You know, obviously that's what happens.
Has anyone noticed John Dan's not here anymore? He's left.
John Dan left about half an hour ago when I couldn't remember.
Has anyone recorded?
Well, I couldn't remember whether it was the 13th Doctor or not. I'm pretty sure it was the 13th Doctor, and you were talking about John Tom Baker with the scarf.
Yeah.
And Steph, you've been a joy. Steph Seelan, Kay Ribeiro. So we'll have a revolving. I think, you know, we might all do it every single bloody week. Who knows?
But, hey, you know, listen, are you trying to get rid of me?
No. But you might meet some other Heat staffers at some point on this podcast. But we will certainly
be
back.
You've got to take the boxes.
You've got to take the boxes. We will certainly be back next Tuesday with the Heat and Miss Sports podcast. Thank
Bye.
You very much.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.